Steve Eaton is a freelance writer who lives in Logan. He writes a column that appears in the Deseret News every other Saturday.
There's been a lot of talk about the 1% of the people who are supposed to be hoarding all the money and running for president. For many of us, they are a mystery. But years ago, I spent an evening with the 1%, and it was an experience I'll never forget. It happened when I lived in Seattle and was invited to go to a Mariners game with my friend Don. Don was a wise friend who laughed often, listened more than he talked, and always wore big boy pants. He read The New Yorker, all of it. And when he said he didn't watch much TV, I think he was telling the truth. I noticed when he talked about current events, he knew actual facts and could work them into the conversation. He had worked for a grown-up bank, a serious bank that never gives away toasters. It's like the bank of Mary Poppins, only the people are nice and the inside isn't dark and scary. There's no standing at a teller's window in this bank. You sit at a giant, expensive wood desk, and you make transactions with the help of the nice banker people who are your friends. When Don invited me to go to a Mariners game, we were excited and wondered how good our seats would be. We knew we were in a suite, but we weren't sure what that meant. When we got to the ballpark, we realized we didn't know how to get to the suites. We ended up in the outfield bleachers near the cheap seats we would usually sit in. When we showed the ushers our colorful, oversized suite tickets, they looked quite embarrassed for us, thinking that perhaps we might have suffered some mental trauma from mingling briefly with the 99% in the bleacher section. I waved goodbye. We were escorted to some glass doors, and I was afraid that the people would ask us some screening questions about executive compensation packages, offshore accounts, or Grey Poupon mustard. Instead, they treated us with great respect, inspected the tickets, and pointed the way. After two checkpoints, we were allowed to freely roam the quiet carpeted halls in search of our suite. I wasn't sure how I would act. All I knew about wealthy people was what I observed when I was bumped up into first class one time on an airplane. There I learned that, for some reason, people with lots of money have to gently dab their faces every hour or so with a warm, wet wash rag. I wanted to bring a wash rag with me in one of my pockets, but my wife said she didn't think that would help us create the image we were trying to cultivate. Don greeted us like we were important clients with lots of money to invest. We found the other real clients who had been invited to be remarkably pleasant and friendly. My wife is pretty, and it seems odd that she could be with me. I think they assumed I must be very wealthy. After the introductions, I quickly went to the railing to see the view. As I watched the Mariners warming up below, I had the strong impression that if I were to simply raise my hand in the air, like a Roman emperor, they would have immediately started the game. I also thought I might be able to have the umpires or any error-prone athlete removed just by standing and giving a thumbs-down gesture. I feared, however, if I did, they might just shoot the offending party and drag him off. I was sure that would put a damper on things. I did feel compassion as I saw the thousands of people below climbing over each other, spilling beer and nachos, and wedging themselves into their hard plastic seats. I felt pity for their situation, but not enough to share the free food I discovered. Yes, it's true. A suite invitation comes with free food. Granted, much of it was in the form of dry, arty crackers and exotic dip, but it was very good. And they had these large hot dogs that were better than any I'd ever tasted before. It made me want to cry just to be in their presence. The problem with free food in this type of setting is that to be socially acceptable, you can't just pile up your plate like you're trying to drive the Royal Bucket Buffet restaurant into bankruptcy. It's a different feel. In fact, I eventually learned that there's no real need to stab someone with your fork, even if they reach for the same dry cracker that you wanted. It was very strange. It was all very civilized, and I instinctively knew that if we ran out of food, some new food would be brought in. Perhaps hand-carried by a relief pitcher for the Mariners, or Ichiro himself. The real challenge, therefore, was to try to casually sneak back to the free food 30 or 40 times during the game without people catching on to the fact that you were the one taking all the dry crackers and hot dogs. It was a remarkable evening. The Mariners actually won the game. Don called a cab after the game and had the driver drop us off at our car, which we had parked 22 miles away to save on parking fees. As we drove to our car, however, I noticed that Don pulled a wet rag from his suit coat pocket and began to dab it on his wrist. I looked to my wife as if to say, "See?" Don had a troubled look on his face, and he said, "The strangest thing happened tonight. I reached for a cracker and someone stabbed me with a fork. This is Steve Eaton.